Hi, everybody. I don't know how much longer we're going to have to do this, but I'm thankful for the ability to do this, to where at least we get to hear something. But I hope the Lord is pleased to bring us back together to worship publicly together soon. I miss everybody. I'm going to be speaking from Mark chapter 5, and I'm going to read the first 21 verses. I've entitled this message, "My Name is Legion." Now, before I read this passage of Scripture, I love the different miraculous healings the Lord has given. I love to read of blind Bartimaeus. I love to hear of the Syrophoenician woman. I love to hear of the leper who the Lord healed, and on. But this passage of Scripture is what I identify with the most of all of these miraculous healings. This is a very special passage of Scripture to me personally. Mark chapter 5, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes." Now, this was right after he had stilled the wind and the waves, and there was a great calm, and he gets to the other side. "And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not.' For he had said unto him, 'Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit.' And he asked him, 'What is thy name?' And he answered, saying, 'My name is Legion, for we are many.' And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, 'Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them.' And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, 'Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee.' And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel." Let's pray together. Our merciful and gracious Heavenly Father, we come into your presence in Christ's name, and we're so thankful for him, his beauty, his excellencies, the completeness of his salvation, and we pray that we might be enabled to worship him. Lord, we pray for our nation, we pray for our leaders, that you would give them wisdom and guide their steps. Lord, we pray for those in need at this time, that you would supply their needs. We ask that you would give us grace to conduct ourselves in a way that honors you. And Lord, we confess our sins. They're ever before us. We pray for forgiveness and cleansing. But how we thank you for the forgiveness of sins. Now bless us for Christ's sake. In his name we pray. Amen. My name is Legion. Let's look back at verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. Now remember what had happened while they were crossing the sea. A great storm of wind came down, and water filled the ship, and they were scared to death. And they said, Master, carest thou not that we're perishing? And the scripture says he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea and said, Peace, be still. And there was a great calm. And the disciples looked at one another. The scripture says they feared exceedingly and said, What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? Now he comes to the other side. And we read, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him, out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. Now, he had ordained this meeting before time began. And he was going across the lake to meet this one man because this was one of his elect. And he was going to save him. He was going to make himself known to him. And that's why he came. You see, the Lord is always on the trail of his sheep. And he's going to have every single one of them. So this man met him because the Lord determined for it to be done. And we read with regard to this man with this unclean spirit, this foul, depraved spirit, that he had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. This man could not be controlled. Verse 4, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. Now people were afraid of him, and they attempted to bind him in fetters and chains to keep him from hurting them. They were frightened at what he may do. But he would always break those chains asunder when sin called. He could not be restrained. He could not be tamed, the scripture says. Now, a tamed tiger is still a tiger. You better watch out. His nature has not been changed. Now, these people attempted to tame this man, restrain him, modify his behavior, and that's what religion attempts to do, to tame a man. But that nature was still there, and when sin would call, he would come running. He could not be tamed. He could not be bound with these fetters. And I think this represents what religion attempts to do. Religion attempts to tame a man and restrain his behavior, but it can do nothing to give him a new nature. That's what this man needed. He needed a new heart. Now we read in verse 5, and always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. He was miserable, cutting himself with stones. And this lets us know that he knew who the problem was. He knew he was the problem. He was cutting himself. He knew he was his own worst enemy. He didn't feel like a victim. He knew this was all of his fault. And he was miserable, daily in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Verse 6, but when he saw Jesus, Now that word saw is not merely a physical sight. He perceived who he was. He knew exactly who he was. And when he saw Jesus afar off, He did what all who really see him do. He ran, he hit the dirt, and he worshiped him. Now, the only true worship there is when you worship the Lord for who he is without any regard to what he does or does not do for you. If you supposedly are worshiping because of something you think he may do for you, and that you may be able to get him to respond to you, and you wouldn't worship him if he didn't do what you want him to do, that is not worship. This man didn't even suspect mercy at this time. He was asking the Lord just not to torment him and not send him back to hell, back to the abyss. But he ran and he worshiped the Lord Jesus Christ for who he is. Now, he is to be worshiped for who he is. He's the Son of God. He's the Lord. He's God's Christ, God's prophet, God's priest, God's king. And if he doesn't save me, oh, I hope he does. I pray he does. But if he doesn't save me, and if he leaves me to myself, he's still the object of divine worship because of who he is. Now, you look at the men in the New Testament and the women in the New Testament who worshiped him. The scripture says regarding the leper, there came a leper and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Now, he didn't know if the Lord would do it, but he worshiped him anyway for who he is, knowing salvation was utterly and completely in the Lord's hands. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. The Syrophoenician woman asked the Lord for mercy. He didn't answer a word. She continues to ask. And he said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I've only come to save the elect. You know what the scripture says she did at that time? Then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. If you don't help me, I won't be helped. And that's when he said, it's not right to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, that's the truth, Lord. If I ever heard the truth, that's it. Yet the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. I know I'm no more than a dog, but I'm your dog. And I'll be so thankful for any crumbs of mercy that fall my way. That is worship. Now, this must be settled first, or you can't go on with him. He is to be worshiped for who he is, whether he does anything for me or you or not. Amen? He is worthy of worship. I think of that man in John chapter 9. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? Who is he, Lord, that I might believe? Thou hast both seen him, and it's he that speak with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he fell down and worshiped. Worship is a response to who he is. Now let's go on reading. But when he saw Jesus far off, he ran and worshiped him, and he cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? You see, he knew exactly who he was. I adjure thee by God. I beg you, don't torment me. Now, think of what he said. What have I to do with thee? You're holy. I'm unclean. You're life. I'm death. You're good. I'm evil. You're the truth. I'm a lie. You're light. I'm darkness. What connection is there between me and thee? I couldn't help but think of Peter. You can read about this in Luke chapter 5, when Peter found out who the Lord really was. The scripture says he fell down on his knees before the Lord and said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man. You don't want to have anything to do with me. I'm nothing but sin. I'm full of sin. That's all that is there. Depart from me." This man says, "What is there? What connection is there? What have I to do with thee? What is there in common with us?" Absolutely nothing. All I'm asking is that you torment me not. Verse 8, "For he," the Lord Jesus, "had said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And remember, his voice is always obeyed. When he commands, his voice is always obeyed. And that unclean spirit knew that. Verse 9, "And he asked him," the Lord asked him, "What is your name?" Now, the Lord wasn't asking this for information. He knew exactly who his name was. He had known this man from the very foundation of the world. But this is very much like him asking Jacob his name when he wrestled with Jacob. "What's your name?" Well, he knew Jacob was, but this was for confession. Jacob. Deceit. Cheat. Deceiver. He's confessing who he is. That's what this man is doing. He's confessing, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Now, this man was demon-possessed. And he had a legion of demons in him. Now, the New Testament has a lot to say upon this subject of demon possession. And many were possessed of demons in that day, and many are possessed of demons in this day. As a matter of fact, everybody that is an unbeliever is under the dominion and the control of Satan. Do you remember when the Lord said to those religious people in John chapter 8, verse 44, "You are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do." Now, many, when they think of demon possession, they think of the occult and these dark practices and people wearing hoods and chanting and so on. Well, no doubt that is demon possession. But didn't Paul, when he described Satan, he says he comes as an angel of light, and his ministers of righteousness. Now, my dear friends, that's demon possession. Listen to this scripture from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." This is talking about every unbeliever. "Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others." Now, works religion is demon possession. Let me repeat that. Works religion is demon possession. Uncleanness is demon possession. This man with this unclean, foul spirit, no doubt, he was demon-possessed. But so is every other person who does not believe the gospel. Well, it comes in different ways. But when Paul warned us of Satan, he didn't warn us of a guy with a tail and pitchfork. He warned us of an angel of light and a minister of righteousness. Now, he says, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Legions of lust and uncleanness. Legions of pride and self-righteousness. Legions of impurity and hypocrisy. That's me. My name is Legion. We are many. Verse 10, "And he," Legion, "besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country." And Luke's account says, "send them back into the deep," the abyss, the pit, and that's a reference to hell. Now, look in verse 11. Now there were nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And what happened to these swine? And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. Now, a couple of things to think about. Number one, who's speaking, the man or the swine? Yes, the man is speaking, the demons are speaking, and you can't really tell which one's speaking. It's the same. The man is one with the demons. And these demons realize that they cannot make a move without the permission of the Lord Jesus Christ. They couldn't do anything without first Him letting them do it, and they knew it, and they asked Him permission. They knew they couldn't make a move without Him. That is how high they viewed Him. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Lord. He's the Lord of angels. He's the Lord of demons. He's the Lord of lords and King of kings. And they understood this, and they said, suffer us to go into this herd of swine. And I love verse 13. And forthwith, Jesus gave them leave. He gave them permission. Now, that's a statement regarding the kingly authority of the Son of God. This great group of demons could not make a move unless He allowed them to do it. You see, He is Lord of lords. He's Lord of demons. He's everybody's Lord. He's the Lord of the dead. He's the Lord of the living. Somebody might think He's not my Lord. Yeah, He is, because He's the Lord. He's your Lord whether you know it or not, and you are under His thumb. And I love it that way. I wouldn't want it to be any other way. He's the Lord, and He gave these demons permission to go into that herd of swine. Now, what a sight. Look what it says. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a deep place into the sea. There were about 2,000, and they were choked in the sea. And what a sight this must have been. 2,000 pigs squealing and snorting, running as fast as they can toward a cliff. As soon as they reach it, they jump off, go into the sea, and every one of them are drowned. Now, somebody owned those pigs, and this cost somebody a lot of money. Somebody would have got very upset over this. Verse 14, and they that fed the swine fled and told it to the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. You can imagine what a stir this created. And verse 15, and they come to Jesus and see Him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting. Luke's account says, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in His right mind. Sitting. You see, He'd been given a new nature. And that nature has one great desire, to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. This man whom no man could tame, who would break asunder the fetters and the shackles, is now sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, does that mean his old nature is gone? No, his old nature is still there. But he's got a new nature that's greater than the old. And he's sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what's it say next about him? It says he was clothed. Now, remember, he'd been naked. He was now clothed, completely clothed. Clothed. And I have no doubt that that represents being clothed by Christ. Clothed in His righteousness. No longer naked. Clothed in His righteousness. Having the wedding garment on. Having that fine linen clean and white, the righteousness of the saints, which is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He is now clothed in Christ. He's justified. He has the very righteousness of Christ as his own personal righteousness. And I love what it says next. He was in his right mind. Now, before he wasn't, but he is now in his right mind. You see, a lost man's crazy. Someone who doesn't look to Christ only as everything in salvation is plumb crazy. Now, this word right-minded is also translated sober-minded. Everyone is called upon in Romans 12 to be sober-minded. And what does that mean? To not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Now, this is the only way I can be right-minded, is if I don't think of myself more highly than I ought to think. Now, natural men think of themselves so much more highly than they ought to think. Oh, they may be insecure. They may have no self-esteem. But they still think of themselves more highly than they ought to think because they don't see God's absolute justice in sending them to hell. They don't bow to the gospel. But a believer does. He thinks of himself as he ought to think, as a sinner needing Christ. And that only is being right-minded. Any other view is being insane. But this man is now sitting at the feet of Christ, clothed in the very righteousness of Christ, and he's now in his right mind. He's looking to Christ only. Verse 16, and they that saw it, they saw the pigs go over the cliff, and they saw what the Lord had done to this man. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. They told him everything that took place. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. They did not feel comfortable with this. They felt all right with the guy being tamed and chained, but a lost man never feels comfortable with grace. They see this man sitting at the feet of the Lord, clothed in the very righteousness of Christ, in his right mind, and they didn't feel comfortable with it. And they actually asked the Lord to leave. Depart from our coast. We don't like this. We don't understand this. We don't feel comfortable with this. We like the guy better the way he was before. We don't like this. Leave. Now, if you hear the gospel and you're request is, I don't like this. You better watch out. The Lord may give you what it is you want. You may ask him to leave and he'll say, oh, well, okay, I'll do it. And you'll never hear from him again till judgment day. These people asked this man to leave. And he answered their request. Verse 18, and when he was coming to the ship, he was going to leave. When he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Now, if a man or a woman ever comes to know who the Lord Jesus Christ is, I know what they're going to want. They're going to want to be with him. That's all I want, is to be with him. Wherever he is, that's where I want to be. And this word with, this preposition with, is also translated in. He wanted to be in him. Now, this is what every believer desires more than anything else. I want to be with Christ. I just want to be with him. I don't want to be without him at any time, and I want to be in him. I want it to be to where that all God sees when he sees me is he sees me in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's my only desire. He wanted to be with him. He wanted to be in him, and he wanted to go with him. He didn't want to stay there. And look how the Lord answers him. Verse 19, howbeit, Jesus suffered him not. Now, this is interesting. He answered the prayer of the people who wanted him to leave. He said yes to them. But this one who wants to be with him, he says no. He says no. Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them, now don't miss this, how great things the Lord hath done for thee. and had compassion on thee. Now, if you would listen to the testimony of the average religious person, he would talk about the great things the Lord has done in him. I'm different. My life has changed. I'm not like I once was. And I don't think when someone speaks in those terms, it scares me. It sounds too much like the Pharisee. I thank thee that I'm not as other men are. I give you the credit. I give your grace the credit. I'm not as other men are. Now, if you're thinking that way, you're not thinking about what the Lord has done. You're thinking about what he has enabled you to do and how he's enabled you to be. And I'll be quite frank. Whenever I start thinking that way, I start wondering whether or not I'm even saved. I start wondering if the Lord's ever done anything for me because I'm not as good as I ought to be. I certainly know that. And when people start boasting about their changed lives, you change lives. Here's the evidence, change lives. Well, lives ought to be changed. I'm not saying anything against that, but that doesn't give me any comfort. That doesn't give me any hope to think about my life being changed. That gives me no assurance whatsoever. The only thing that gives me hope is what the Lord has done for me and had compassion on me. Now let me tell you in just a few minutes what the Lord has done for me. And I think it's interesting in Luke's account, he said, go home and tell your friends and family what God has done for thee. But here he's speaking of himself, what the Lord has done for thee. Now, the Lord accepted me before time began when the Father gave me to him in eternal election. And as my surety, he took complete responsibility for my salvation. He said, I will save him. I'll do everything for him. That's what the Lord has done. And he became flesh, and in the flesh, he kept God's holy law for me. He worked out a perfect righteousness for me. And then he was nailed to a cross for me and died for me. Now, why did he die? We can't ever overlook that question. Why did he die? Because my sin became his sin. He became guilty of the commission of that sin. And God's wrath, the soul that sinneth shall surely die. My sin became his sin. No, he never committed sin, but my sin still became his sin. He was made sin. And in being made sin, God's wrath came down upon him and all my sin was paid for. I was redeemed by what he did. And he was raised for me. You know why he was raised for me? Because God was satisfied with what he did and he justified me. He was delivered for our offenses and he was raised again for our justification. He was raised for me and accomplished my salvation. He redeemed me. He put away all my sins and made me perfectly righteous before God. And he did this by himself. There wasn't any cooperation on my part. The scripture says he by himself purged our sins. He did this all for me. And do you know, he gave me a new heart. I was like that man living in the tombs. And he gave me a new heart. A heart that believes. A heart that repents. A heart that loves Christ. A heart that loves God just as he is. He gave me a new heart. He preserves me. The reason I haven't fallen away is because I'm kept by his power. He causes me to persevere in the faith. When I die, I'm going to be brought into his presence, perfect. He's coming again for me. Now, I'm talking about what he has done for me. Well, what have you done for him? All I'm going to talk about is what he has done for me. The songwriter said, living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming. Oh, glorious day. He's interceding for me right now. At the right hand of the Father as my representative. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Don't go home and tell your friends of the great way you've changed and how good you are and how one all. No, you have one mission, to go home and tell your friends and family the great things the Lord hath done for you and had compassion on you. Verse 20, and he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. He became the missionary to Decapolis. Oh, that I might be enabled by the Spirit of God from the Scriptures to see the great things the Lord hath done for me and hath had compassion on me. Legion sure had some understanding of this, didn't he? Let's pray together. Our merciful and gracious Heavenly Father, how we thank you for your word. Lord, how we thank you for the great things that you have done for us and hast had compassion upon us, and we give thanks. Lord, bless this message, and Lord, we look forward to the time, hopefully soon, where we'll get to meet together again and see each other, worship thy Son with one another. Bless us for Christ's sake. Accept our thanksgiving. In his name we pray. Amen.